Hey, happy October and welcome to The Butter Dish. I'm Natalie Delaney.
And I'm Heidi Ballard.
And today we're talking about stressful thoughts around delicious things. last week I posted a picture. I walked into my back room on two of my coworkers' birthdays and there was a 6-pack of crumble cookies. Now, if you don't know what crumble cookies are, they're like the size of your face. They're all like 5 servings each, even though in your heart of hearts, it should be one.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of beautiful. And I think that's what's so interesting about like some of these foods that cause the most stress are really just really attractive.
Right? Mm-hmm. So true.
It's like anyone can turn away from one, like an ugly cookie, but like a really attractive cookie, it makes it a little bit more like, oh shoot, like I'm really intrigued by this double layer icing and this like light pink swirl. And so we asked the stories, would walking into this stress you out? And half of you actually said no, that you know you can or can't have it and it's your choice, which I thought was awesome.
Amazing.
And then it was a smattering of depends on the day, completely it would stress them out, and no, I don't like cookies, which I low-key believe it's part of what cookies do to you from a stress perspective. And maybe there's a handful of you who really don't, but I just kind of refuse to believe that there are people who don't.
It's hard to imagine. It's really hard to imagine.
This is just where I am very narrow-minded and short-sighted that I don't believe that it's possible. But anyways, all joking aside, you guys, we asked you to share your responses of why it would be stressful. And Heidi will read a couple of them to you, but there's definitely an overwhelming trend.
Yeah. I can't stop. I have to try them all and then go back. As long as I don't sample, I'm okay. Because if I do, I know I'll overdo it. I tend to binge and overeat. I have bad self-control. The macros are bad. Not being able to stop once I start. And a couple different versions of those. Some people call it chomping. Some people say they have zero self-control. Can't just have one. Once I have a bite, I eat way too much. I wouldn't trust myself. I wouldn't trust my decision in the moment. If I had one, I would want six. I would want them all. Yeah, my plans for the day may be messed up. I can't stop at one. I want to try them all. FOMO.
So whether it's cookies or upcoming Halloween candy or really just kind of anything in general, alcohol, French fries, pizza slices, whatever it is, these foods that you feel like you need to have a layer of control over is really kind of what we want to talk about. Because our goal is for you guys at the end of this podcast to realize that you do have actually quite a bit of control as far as how you feel about cookies and how you feel about treats. Not that you need to exert this kind of all or nothing thinking about the foods that you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And that you can be around treats, especially as we enter into one of the most delicious seasons of the year. We want you to be able to feel empowered by the possibility to make these decisions and join the other 50% who believe that they can have decisions around these items and be empowered to make those. So I think what was an interesting trend that we saw in those is that a lot of it comes down to control, mm-hmm. whether they feel like they need to assert control by saying no, or if they were to start, they would not have any. So Heidi, where do you think this like desire for control comes from?
So to me, I mean, anytime we're looking at a situation with a lot of shoulds or shouldn'ts or all or nothing thinking, we can be quite sure that shame is involved in some way, shape or form. Shame and fear, which is where we see a lot of these emotions trigger in a lot of us, this hypervigilance of not feeling safe and wanting to control our environment, control other people, control our own emotions, with this sort of tight-fisted, arm-hangy, there's danger everywhere, you're in a minefield kind of energy. And that kind of stress inevitably leads to breakdown of one kind or another.
I think what's also interesting too is like I think that obviously they've had experiences with cookies mm-hmm. or with treats, and I think that there's this past version of themselves that they dislike or they feel shame about versus the one that they believe they want to be or the one that they're working on trying to be. And we see this disconnect a lot, especially in our coaching, is that people try to get away from this past version of themselves that they believe was not as worthy or not as valuable or not as lovable or not as special or important. And instead of embracing those versions of ourselves as a whole entity, we try to separate ourselves from them as far as like I don't want to feel the way she felt, or I don't want to do the things that she used to do. So I have to do the complete opposite.
Totally. And similarly, I think some people have this fear of devolving into like the worst version of themselves in the future. Like if I don't keep a tight grip on myself, then these horrible, catastrophic inevitabilities are what happen next. And that again, that fear to control just raises the stakes on everything that we do after that. So there's, you're going to see a lot of perfectionisticy kind of stuff rearing its head here. This idea that like, if I even have one bite, like the whole thing is over. So you see that there's, I mean, one of the popular, macro phrases is moderation over deprivation, right? So if you believe that these foods are bad, so therefore when you eat them, you are being bad or becoming a bad version or in danger of becoming a bad version, then that, that belief, like then you start this battle against yourself. The cognitive dissonance begins of like this treat that you kind of enjoy versus this, bad things will happen if you let your guard down and enjoy this thing.
And I think when I think about like, even for myself, as someone who has basically been like an overeater my whole life and definitely identified as like, well, I love food, so I'm just always going to kind of be fat. If I look back at the patterns of, you know, when I would overeat or overindulge or whatever you want to call it, it really doesn't come down to the food itself, right? It's what are we trying to avoid? What feelings are we trying to avoid? What are we hoping or what sent us into a place where we felt like we need this kind of dopamine hit or this kind of comfort? I mean, it's called comfort food for a reason, but how many times do we not take the time to go back and look at old patterns and the reasons why? I guarantee for those of you who feel like you have no control over cookies, you really logically know, because you are brilliant, bright humans, that's not really the cookie. It's not really, you know, the 2 cups of flour and the 1/2 stick of butter and da da da. That's making you feel this way. It's how you feel or what you used to feel when you eat them, right? Did you have a very stressful relationship? Was your workplace hard? Was your family life hard? Like, was it a way to escape from feeling certain things that you had grown up with in your life that made you associate cookies with this kind of feeling, this emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And part of it is sometimes when we think like, oh, if I have a cookie, I'm, you know, what do people say? Like, I'm going to, you know, if I start, then I won't be able to stop. It's like, are you also scared of the emotions you'll be drumming up by having them?
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, like, are you also ignoring how you feel? I mean, a lot of times, like you were saying, like you overeat a lot. I was more of like a, eat a lot on Sunday, eat barely low on Monday without even really realizing it. Cause I didn't have a lot of experience with counting calories or anything before macros. But this idea of like, you're not paying attention to how your body feels. So maybe you don't realize how hungry you are. You just have food rules about what foods you can eat, what foods you can't eat, what times you can eat, those types of, or you ate a lot yesterday, so now you need to eat low today to kind of balance it out, or all of those different things like moderation over deprivation or overindulgence. And that can be, when we're coming from a place of fear and shame, that can be tremendously hard to regulate because you are reacting to your emotions and you're reacting to your environment. You're in reaction mode. You're not actually being intentional or thinking through consequences and not just the consequences of fat gain, right? That's still involved in this sort of zoomed in belief system where gaining weight is the worst thing that can happen to you.
Right. Or you believe that cookies equal weight gain.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So if you do the bad thing, then the bad thing will happen to you. As opposed to questioning that whole thing, right? And really, that's one of the things that we love about macros, that it breaks up that dogma that all the, you know, calorie dense foods are always bad, or those kinds of things.
I mean, I think one of our biggest awarenesses or eye opening ahas was the acai bowl versus the Pyology pizza. I think a lot of people listening here are like, oh, acai bowl, I mean, it has fruit. depending on who you are, granola.
Oh, it's just even over the weekend.
This has vegetables or fruit, so it must be good for you, right? And then when you hear pizza, a lot of people automatically think, well, like, well, pizza, that's like very indulgent, or good people don't eat pizza and things like that. When we did the macros on it, you guys, and you know, one acai bowl is the same macros as a Pieology pizza, a whole one.
Yeah. Which, of course, you know, the details matter. We're talking about like a peanut butter acai bowl versus, you know,
and a margarita pizza. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a little bit more protein on the pizza, but the general idea is still applies.
Yes.
Where you can elevate one item of food versus another. And maybe, you know, in your mind, if I have like 5 or 6 helpings of salad, that's a really good choice for me. When not realizing that the salad actually could be the same as a crumble cookie, right? The how much salad you had. So it really comes down to asking yourself, where's the value that I place? Is it fair? Is it real? And do I use those rules that I've given myself as a way to judge myself? Which really comes down to your relationship with food. If you feel that like you automatically see a treat or something calorie dense, you're like, that's bad for me, right? But then you see something like kale or a chicken breast or, you know, egg whites, and you're like, well, that's good for me. And you have this belief between the two. It really says a lot more about your relationship with yourself and how you feel like you cannot make decisions, or you get to judge yourself based on the decisions you make versus it just being like, what do I feel like today? What do I need today? What do I want today? And that's like this all encompassing, you know, the food relationship is like a microcosm, obviously, for yourself. And you guys have heard us talk about this a lot. And if you're interested in exploring more about your relationship with food, you should definitely check out our podcast with Ali Henry RD, all about your food relationship. But one of the things we want to make sure that you understand is like these rules that you have designed to keep yourself, air quotes, safe, don't actually make you feel safe, because you can't feel safe around a cookie, or you can't feel safe around Halloween candy. And we're here to tell you that you can. So what does that look like? What does working towards feeling like the 50% that feel like they can make those decisions look like?
A big part of it comes down to caring about how you feel and checking in with how you feel, asking yourself what you want, right? Like if you're walking into a situation and you don't know how hungry you are, you don't know what kind of outcome you want out of it. Like you even texted me the day the crumble cookies were, because you were feeling a little stressed. We were just kind of joking, and you were like, maybe should I have a little piece of this cookie to see if it helps? And I was like, absolutely. And you tried a portion of it, and you were like, actually, they didn't really do the trick, right? Because you have the awareness to know that, just like macro counting, like having a slice of a cookie, like these are just neutral tools that you can use, right? So if you, like you were saying, if counting macros makes macros and the striving for the, you know, macro friendly foods all the time, if that's in charge of you telling you what you want and what you can't have, I mean, even like that comment, like the macros are bad. That's such an interesting comment to me, because macros are neutral. So what do you mean by bad, right? Like if you knew where your appetite registered, or even the comment about like, you know, it'll mess up my plan for the rest of the day. I don't even mind that one so much, because it does sort of reflect some of like a little bit of loyalty to yourself and the effort. Yeah. And the effort you put forth. I'm like, I don't really want to refigure that out. Okay. That I can honor that. It all depends on the spirit with which you're talking to yourself about these things. Right. So if you are noticing like, man, I could really go for a treat, let me look at my day and see what I can fit in, because I want to help myself get a treat, right? As opposed to like not knowing, not caring about how hungry you are, not caring what sounds good, not caring about wanting treats, and just sort of using macros as a way to like restrict yourself or keep yourself in check and away from all of the good things in life.
I mean, it really comes down to like, you know, when you hear people say, you know, macros are neutral, or, you know, food is neutral, it's not that it means that there's no emotion tied to it,
or
no feeling tied to it. The fact is that it really comes down to like you getting to decide what it means to you. For instance, like, let's just say Heidi and I both have $1,000 to spend today.
Ooh,
we're probably going to spend it on completely different things. And what she spends it on is obviously worth it to her. What I spend it on is worth it to me. And at the end of the day, it's still $1,000.
Yep.
There's no judgment attached to it. Now, you might look at Heidi's pile and be like, oh, she made some really good decisions over here. And you might look at mine and be like, does she really need 15 of that item? Regardless of what it is, the truth still stands. It's just $1,000. And that's really why allowing yourself to explore these things that you avoid because you feel like you have no control over is really, really important, because you're always going to use food to judge yourself unless you're willing to question it. And
I think that's such a great explanation. I mean, like when we say food is neutral, that means that you're like, it's a blank canvas. So everything that you are thinking about food, you are projecting onto this blank canvas. So when you say, when even these judgments you have about yourself, like, or the cookies, like those, the cookies are bad, I have no self-control, you're projecting all of that, right? And we know from behavior models that if that's your thought, I have no control around cookies, that's going to fill you with fear, shame, helplessness. And you're going to go into that situation believing that, and our brains would rather be right than happy. So your behavior will absolutely confirm that belief. And you, so in order to change that, to your point, Matt, ultimately full circle, part of this is going to be, part of it might be looking up the macros on the cookies, trying to figure out how to enter it into your day, or whatever cookie is haunting you, right? We want to bring some data into that situation. And then part of it, I mean, and the reason I say that too, and you know, we were talking about this earlier, is that we really feel like macros can be a very useful step between, you know, whatever previous understanding you had about nutrition, kind of on your way to being an educated eater who doesn't want or need to track all the time. This mid step of like, of knowing what foods are worth, of seeing like the way you can rearrange your day, noticing how different foods make you feel, what's worth it to you, what isn't, different combinations of food. I mean, the list of the things you and I have learned about the way different foods make us feel, being strategic with our nutrition. I mean, it's such a long list, but my point is that, you know, all of these things that you're learning about macros is sort of like a parachute in this situation, because a lot of women are not willing to risk weight gain in order to learn these things about themselves. So if you understand what the foods are that you're working with, and you can make a plan to fit that into your maintenance calories or whatever, then we can sort of take that fear of weight gain and neutralize it just a little bit, right? And then refocus our attention back on, okay, so I have this goal, I'm going to incorporate this food, which traditionally has been pretty terrifying for me. I'm afraid I won't be able to stop. I have these fears. I'm aware of these fears, but I also have this intentional plan. So I'm going to sit and mindfully eat. I'm going to notice what comes up in me. I'm going to be there for myself. I'm going to support myself. If I get to the end of that portion, I've chewed it slowly. I've thought about how it feels. I've noticed how delicious it is. And maybe I still want more, instead of just automatically reacting to that feeling of wanting more. I mean, of course you have that permission if you want to give yourself that, but for the point of this exercise, you know, just notice that feeling will subside. If you are not actively adding to it with stressful thoughts and resisting and being afraid of how you feel, scientists estimate that urge will process in less than a couple minutes.
That's incredible, right? But then you could spend the whole day or the next couple of days completely gaslighting yourself instead of letting the urge pass for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, because you, quote, shouldn't be experiencing it, close quote, as if like knowing a certain calorie level is going to seize the agency within your brain and make you respond differently. Like we all have emotions, but practicing something different, you're going to have to practice allowing and giving yourself permission and supporting yourself in negative emotion. You're going to have to practice that just like you practice scaring the shit out of yourself with cookies.
And even if it's just an exercise to prove to yourself that you can do it, there's value in that. A lot of times women who have never been in a maintenance calorie range that get to explore maintenance and they're like, oh my goodness, why I've been so scared of this and this food for so long. And to find out that I can have it and still achieve my goals has been life-changing for them. Mm-hmm. You can also do that in a cut. You can still figure out a piece of candy or two, Halloween candy in a deficit, but it's more about the desire. Do you have the desire to allow yourself to enjoy things in life? Or do you really truly believe that like it's best for you to just restrict and deny yourself things that you actually enjoy in order to what? to what? Like, to what end?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and where is this also showing up in your life? Are you not allowed to take a break? Are you not allowed to have a rest day? Are you not allowed to watch a TV show?
Are you not allowed to have a nap? Yeah. Are you not allowed to take a compliment? Are you not?
Yeah. It's like everything that you want to like keep from yourself because you worry about liking it too much or it being too much for you, or for heaven forbid, you let go a little bit, relax a little bit on this like, you know, airtight pursuit of like feeling better one day. It just doesn't seem to be much of a life, right?
Exactly. Because there is no feeling better one day. There is only today. And some of this hypervigilance is a trauma response. So it's literally going to be take retraining and calming your nervous system in order to get to a better feeling place. Because like we said on many of our episodes, we as women, by and large, are not conditioned. We're not taught. We haven't had it modeled to like love and accept ourselves in our bodies, not through puberty, not through young adulthood, not through, certainly not through motherhood, certainly not through, you know, right after having a baby. I'm blanking on the phrase. This is called, thank you. Certainly not in any of those areas.
Or menopausal, right? Or postmenopausal.
Yep, you're,
or everything after 40.
I mean, you're not allowed to feel safe in your body unless you fit a specific supermodel like image. And the irony is, listen to any supermodel in an interview with an inch of self-awareness, and she's got as much, if not more, body shame than the rest of us.
One of the person that responded to the question said, not being able to control the amount I eat and spending a lot of time battling the desire. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like the whole thing right there just makes me super sad, because it seems like a really expensive way to avoid unaddressed emotion or shame.
Yeah.
It's like you can't have it at all. And then you're going to spend the rest of the time battling the desire of wanting it.
Well,
and judging yourself more.
Absolutely. Like, instead of, you know, blame is a function of shame. So instead of blaming the cookies or blaming the situation, she's blaming her own desire. Right. And that, I mean, you should think about the ramifications of that. So you're literally practicing arguing with yourself about things that you want, arguing with yourself that you don't feel the way that you feel. That cognitive dissonance is the birthplace of so many of these thought errors that just have us by the heels, you know, should statements, labeling, judging, reasoning from our emotions instead of from a calm, neutral, centered place.
And how many times is this like battling the desire, like show up in your life too? Like, I think a lot of women are so scared to allow themselves to feel good about themselves that they're constantly battling the desire to like be okay, that they're okay with themselves. I mean, how many times, like, do you have, you know, situations where they're like, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I am okay at this size, or maybe I am okay at this weight. And then our thoughts are like, no, heaven forbid you allow yourself to like who you are right now. It's like, where did we get into this place where it's unacceptable to like yourself, or unacceptable to allow yourself to have, or, you know, it's just, why is it bad to want to eat all of them? Why? Why? Why is it bad to want to eat six? Why is it bad to want to try a little piece of all of them? Like, really, truly though, why? Why is it bad? Or is it just like my curiosity to see these flavor profiles and to see which one I really like, or enjoy something that was incredibly made? Like, why is there so much judgment in the things that we want for ourselves, but then you don't take the time to judge yourself for not letting yourself have either?
Totally. Totally. When you hate your own pleasure, when that's like, that's not ever allowed, then you are absolutely setting yourself up for an all or nothing relationship with good feelings. So it's actually, everybody's free to do what they want to do. We're definitely not saying, you know, you should count macros, or you should lose weight, or you should
have a cookie. You have to have a cookie. If you don't have a cookie, you're not evolved.
Yes, that's definitely not what we're saying. We're just saying it might be we've both found it a tremendously valuable exercise, and we work with our clients about this. Like, it's about improving the quality of your life, like improving the quality of your experiences. So many women are afraid to accept themselves because they think they think they'll wake up tomorrow as one of those body positive girls you see on Instagram who, like, so they get so many hate messages from other women about how dare you accept yourself the way you are. And that, like, this, that's kind of what I was saying.
And can you imagine how much you could accomplish if you liked yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like that is you being afraid of gaining weight and losing a certain status in whatever your relationships are. That's obviously fear-based, right? So again, macros can be a nice little parachute for like this exercise of, you know, being so afraid of gaining weight on your way to ultimately accepting yourself. Because here's the reality too, like we've mentioned before, like your body will absolutely disappoint you in one way or another, no matter how much you control it. And ironically, the more we're understanding about chronic stress, and the way that this all or nothing kind of mentality affects your physiology, you are setting yourself up for a lot of suffering, physical suffering in your future, whether that's autoimmune diseases, illnesses, injuries. Ignoring how you feel, trying to shut down how you feel, trying to avoid how you feel. These are maladaptions. We want to understand how we feel. We want to get curious about it. We want to support ourselves. You can either be driven by fear and shame, or you can be motivated by self-acceptance and self-love.
So what does that look like? If someone's listening to this, Heidi, and they're like, okay, I do want to defeat the cookie. Right? I do want to be able to like feel safe around anything. I want to be able to go to things and not have to worry about, you know, air quote, being bad or not being able to stop. Or I want to be able to trick or treat with my kids and have a piece of candy and not feel that I have to like, you know, berate myself over a fun size.
So that feels like getting really, so anytime we can bring some clarity into the situation, that's going to help. So I think you said this earlier, like setting it up like a science experiment. Honestly, I think that's a very worthwhile endeavor because trying to figure this stuff out on the fly when you're rushed and when you're surprised, that's going to make this arguably impossible to make a different choice when you're emotionally activated in a situation. So we want to get like in a neutral place where you're calm, collected, connected. You want to list out what are the foods? Is it a cookie? Is it a fun size? Whatever it is. What are the rules? What are the foods that you feel like you're not allowed to eat? You shouldn't eat. And then, you know, clarify the emotions surrounding that. Get some data on those foods if you want to try this with tracking, and then give it a shot. Fit it in. Notice, like again, in a calm, centered place, you want to get some back support. You want to chew your food thoroughly, enjoy it. Feel what's coming up for you, and then we need to notice the stressful thoughts or the stressful emotions that come up, and we want to process the emotions. You've heard us do this in other episodes. That's naming the emotion, noticing how it feels in your body, speed, color, those kinds of things. And then noticing how this feeling makes you want to react, and not reacting that way, just noticing it. This is going to build awareness around your patterns and the way that these different emotions have been leading you around by the nose, making you believe a bunch of false things about yourself.
And if you feel, you know, open to it, it actually would be really helpful to do this exercise with someone else, with a friend. Like, even if you say, Heidi, today we are going to try and defeat French fries together.
I think we actually have done this without actually really calling it that.
Well, I mean, it's really been our whole journey together. It's really been, I mean, one removal of like shameful thoughts after another, because, you know, you've also heard us say, and Heidi, I love when you bring up like, you know, shame is a social emotion. If you were to do it with a friend, instead of, you know, in your car, parked in your driveway or the corner of the parking lot, I mean, I'm fully guilty. I've totally gone and bought like a banana cream pie at like Urban Plates and just sat there in my car and like eaten the whole thing myself, mm-hmm. because no one can see me. Mm-hmm. No one can judge me. No one can whatever. In reality, I'm like my biggest critic, right? But when we have banana cream pie together, or if I have it with Basil or whatever, it's like when you're out in the open, trying to make it clearer about how you feel about these food rules, it really is so liberating, because it's like, hey, I can have pizza in front of people. I can, you know, especially if you have a history of binge eating, or you're someone who like goes in the pantry at night and kind of lets go and lets loose a little bit because you've been holding so tight. A lot of these food behaviors we reinforce with shameful hiding and quietness about it, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like why sometimes you don't even realize someone has an eating disorder, right? Because most of it is in the shadows, in the quiet, in the dark, alone, and they're having to internalize what has been happening there. So,
and when it comes to that, it is like, it has absolutely nothing to do with the deliciousness of the cookie. It has everything to do with the negative emotions in your life. Like you needing to learn a skill set on how to support yourself in those negative emotions. That is a stress management issue. That is not a moral failing.
And we've had some questions sometimes about I think that my child sneaks food, my child hides food. A lot of that comes to what environment do they feel about food? And sometimes modeling that even for the people in your life is actually also really important too, because a lot of times it frees them up from the food, the judgments of food that they believe that you've also put on them. So even if it's a science experiment to help yourself, to help the people that you love in your life, and that, whether even if it's your girlfriends, you've heard us talk about the one time we held a pool party and we bought pizza and everybody showed up with veggie trays and we were like, what is happening here? Oh, that ranch.
Well, what else do you bring to a pool party run by two nutrition coaches?
Right? It's a veggie tray.
Right?
When in reality, you would realize somebody's like, I want some tomato ranch. You don't want it.
Seriously. Shelf-stable ranch. Blue, boo, boo, hiss.
All this to say, you can have pizza in public if you realize that there's nothing inherently wrong with having pizza. And that's what this whole thing comes down to. Can you have the thoughts that you can have control over the environment? Because the control comes down to the decisions you make for yourself,
yep.
Right? It's not the illusion of control. It's not saying no to everything. So because there's less likelihood of something happening, it's more about I can, and I can choose whether I want to have it or I don't want to have it. That is what control looks like, not white knuckling it, saying no to everything and beating yourself up and berating yourself for wanting it.
Exactly. And the last thing I'll add to that too, is just that a lot of times when we're stressed, we go to our most practiced stressful stories. And for a lot of us, that's about our bodies. So a lot of times, some of these, control dramas that we get into around food and our weight and all of that stuff is a smokescreen for greater issues that we're not ready or not wanting to address. So this is, I just still laugh that I really did think at one point in my life that losing weight was such a superficial goal. When in reality, it for a lot of women, because it is such a stress, shame trigger, it is the doorway to really meeting yourself and not even necessarily the weight loss part, but the paying attention to your physical body and the different behaviors you get involved with in supporting healthy weight loss or healthy muscle building. It really can transform your relationship with your body, which transforms your relationship with yourself, because your body is a part of yourself, but it is not you.
Man, how's that for a New Year's resolution?
Dude, right?
I like that. All right, guys. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Whew, you made it. The butter dish didn't melt your face.
Thanks so much for hanging with us. If you enjoy that episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe, share it to your social media, or leave a comment. That all really helps. So the kids say. If you want to find us, you can find us at Instagram at ButterYourMacros.
On the web at butteryourmacros.com.
Twitter and TikTok at What's Up Butters. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.